Well, okay. Sunday we did a pretty thorough revelation on what the Lord was speaking to us concerning the rebellion, the faction, the plot against UBM and myself. And we saw that the Lord was giving us some pretty awesome answers there. And they are biblical because this is just a repeat of history, you know. So, I mean, once you realize who people are in history, which can be identified pretty well by their actions, you know that history is going to repeat, right? Well, the other day, actually on the 12th, it was yesterday, yesterday morning, I was asking the Lord, I said, what is the plot against UBM or me? And I flipped the Bible open, stuck my finger down on this word. It's in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3. And the word says, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Well, the first thought that came to me was from the very beginning of this thing, usurpers have wanted to take the place of me, take over the ministry for very foolish reasons, and which our fellowship agreed with and basically told them so. And so it was a matter of that. So first thing I thought when I read this was, their plot is to take away the head. However, just a few more moments of thought helped me to see that it was not only an answer like that, it was an answer like this. I mean, because I read the part I put my finger on it, but reading the whole verse there, it says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? So, as you know, Elijah was the prophet, and Elisha was the prophet apprentice, I would say, growing up under Elijah, spiritually speaking. And there's absolutely no doubt that the dragon seeks to take away the head in Revelation chapter 12. He's trying to take out the man-child in Revelation 12. It fails to take out the head. Why? Because the Lord caught up the head to the throne of God and gave the head, the man-child ministry, authority, dominion, power, wisdom, etc., etc. They came with that anointing. And that's what happened here. Because Elijah's head was caught up to the throne of God. And in verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. So the Lord took the head for what we know is merely like Moses going to the top of the mountain to come back with the law, to bring it back to the people. As we know, the man-child ministry is not just going to fly away, as some people teach, and not come back when they've been created to bring God's people through the wilderness. They've been created to be anointed of the Lord Himself, who is to rule in His vessels, the sons of David, just as He was in Jesus' time. Jesus came in a body of the son of David. The Bible says so. And, of course, that's true spiritually in our day. But the Lord is saying that this is the way He's going to end this thing. The dragon's going to fail. By the way, the dragon does take away the head, because the dragon is all those that are seeking to devour the man-child, which is, of course, devouring something is to take it into your body. How does the man-child become a part of the dragon? Well, first he would have to fail miserably. He'd have to fall in to criticism, judgmentalism, hatred, all kinds of things, of course, he could fail in. And the devil's been doing his very best to tempt the man-child and test him and prove him and so on and so forth like that. But obviously God did not agree that the man-child had failed because he caught him up to the throne. He was not able to be absorbed into the dragon. However, the faction has been absorbed into the dragon because they have failed in all of these ways and many, many more. And they became a part of the beast that then turned to try to devour the man-child, of whom the Lord uses me as a type quite often because of my name and because of our ministry. And so this was the first answer I got for that. You know, I saw something else here. The Lord pointed something out to me I'd never seen before, which is pretty neat, I think. Elijah and Elisha crossed over the Jordan, which we've talked about many times as a type of death. If you remember, Joshua took them across the Jordan, having parted it, and there also they laid stones in the bottom of the Jordan with the names of the 12 tribes. They picked up other stones and brought them to the other side, which was a type of death and resurrection. And the waters were backed up all the way to Adam, which means death was destroyed all the way back to Adam. And so Jordan has been a type of death and resurrection as you pass through it. So they passed through it, and suddenly the anointing that was on Elijah came on Elisha. His double portion, Elisha was given a double portion in verse 9 of chapter 2. Of course, that's like the latter rain is going to be the double portion, and the former rain is the status quo right now. You know, right now, I would say the Elijahs have the former rain. But if you remember, Elisha received that double portion, and he did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. And so there you go. There's a type here. In fact, he tells you in verse 15, "And when the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho over against him saw him," that is Elisha, "they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." Okay, so what Elisha got was what Elijah had and a lot more, because now we're talking about a resurrection, a death, burial, and resurrection of the man-child body in which the Lord himself comes to rule. Eli, God, Jah, Jehovah, God, Jehovah, right? Come to rule in Elisha. So that's pretty neat, I thought. He was caught up by a whirlwind, and so on. So I believe that the Lord has shown me that that their attempt to take me out is not going to happen. They believe it will. We also know what some of their plan is, because it's, you know, these people brag so much, it's just hard to get spread around and people hear it, you know. So it's but it's going to fail because the Lord told us so. Not that it will fail to crucify the man-child. That's their job. I mean, throughout history, the wicked and factious people have crucified the man-childs, whether it was the types of going through the prophets or Moses or Jesus on. They've always done this. History has to repeat, and it's repeating now. So they'll be successful in crucifying the man-child, but they won't be successful in taking him away his head. He will instead be receiving the double portion. And being caught up to the throne and receiving the double portion. You know, if the powers that be had known what was going to happen when they crucified Jesus, they wouldn't have done it, the Bible says. It was a really stupid thing to do. Because the Lord is sitting on his throne, and he does do something about the things that he sees. People fancy themselves as God's not paying attention, and he's not going to do anything because of this wickedness. But he will. And he just blesses those who wait on the Lord, right? Oh, praise be to God. So I asked the Lord again. That was so neat, what the Lord showed me there. I asked him, well, show me something again about this. What is the plot against UBM or myself? And he gave me 2 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 15. And I put my finger down, for it was brought about of God that that Jehovah might establish his word. Well, that's neat. Okay, so I didn't really know exactly what the Lord was talking about there, but I knew he was going to show me something. And he did. He showed me a story that's hidden in this text here. Not in the letter. The letter, of course, says one thing, but he hides stories in the text of the letter, just like he puts a skip sequence in the Bible that the letter doesn't speak about, but beneath the letter, there's a whole story under there. There's books on top of books under there, you know. And God is so big to write a story and have it mean many things and have many things in there. So, this story that's happening right now, it's being brought about of God so that the Lord might establish his word. What is it that he wants to do? He wants to cleanse the people of God. And this is the story of cleansing the people of God and using faction to cleanse the people of God and cleanse the bride. That whole story is here, and I was amazed, you know. Of course, if you read, you know, when you see snapshots in the... I'm dating myself here with this snapshot word. When you see snapshots in the scripture, if you go beyond the borders of the snapshot, of course, it starts breaking down. If you go to the panoramic view, you have to go back to the letter, okay? So, let me just point something out to you here. Chapter 10 and verse 1, and Rehoboam went to Shechem. Shechem, of course, if you remember, these were the factious people who sided with Abimelech against the man-childs of Gideon to kill them, to put them to death. And lo and behold, it happens again, you know, but let me point out that first type there. That the Lord was angry with Abimelech and the men of Shechem for killing, obviously, the man-childs. And he sent a division in the midst of them that scattered them. They were judged for that. And the thing is, today I received this word, Psalm 92. And it said, the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. That's what he told me. The workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And Sandy had just sent a dream that she saw in a dream the factious people gathering together, saw their faces, knew who they were, gathering together to plot against us. And two of the most egotistical so-called leaders in there, probably all trying to figure out who's going to be the head, began to argue and fight with one another. And it was a heated argument there. And that's, of course, what the Lord has shown us about them. They will not be able to stay together. They've never been able to stay together. They've always gone their own ways before and shattered and so on and so forth. But so Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. It came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, now Rehoboam, of course, was the son of David, and here is this usurper coming along, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it. for he was in Egypt. Well, that makes sense too, because that's where he's been living, right? Whither he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, the Prince of Peace, right? That Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. When he heard that Rehoboam was to be anointed, he came out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all Israel came, and they spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, who is it that's saying this? Thy father made our yoke grievous. Who it is? These are the people who followed the molten calf. These are the people who made false priests that were not Levites. These were the most rebellious people here. And Shechem was the most factious people. So, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And of course, it didn't happen that way. They didn't hear the answer that they wanted. And so Jeroboam scattered them. Let's see, let's go to verse 16. It says, And when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? So they separated from David. And this was really God's plan, as we're going to see as we go on. This was God's plan. It was a good plan to sanctify the people of God and to remove the head. You know, the dragon did remove the head from the factious people. They didn't want their head. They scattered. They got away from their head. Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So all Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam ruled over them. So the children of Israel that was in Judah, which is, of course, where the king dwelt, where he chose to put his name, that is, in Jerusalem, dwelt. Rehoboam ruled over them. Then King Rehoboam, so I'm going to jump on down to verse 13. I'm telling a story that's hidden in here, and it goes through several chapters. And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel, not Judah, but Israel, resorted to him out of all their border. So, who is that? They came to Judah. Listen at this now. The priests and the Levites, that's the true ministers of the Lord. They came to Rehoboam in Judah, and they resorted to him out of all Israel, out of all their border. So, you know, as the Levites, who were the ministers of the Lord, were scattered throughout Israel in order to minister to them, well, they left. That left who? In Israel. Because all the ministers had gone to Judah. The true ministers, the ordained ministers, were in Judah under David, or under David's son. Well, he called him David, actually, because he was David's son. What portion have we in David, right? For the Levites left their suburbs and their possession. That must have been something very important to them. You remember, the Levites stuck with the Lord whenever all the other tribes apostatized, and he called them his people. They were his chosen. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons cast them off. And that's exactly what's happened with the faction, is they've cast off the true ministers of God, that they should not execute the priest's office unto the Lord. So there was no way to execute the priest's office, because the Lord ordained these ministers to do it. And they refused them, and they refused the Lord. And he appointed him priests for the high places, and for the he-goats, and for the calves which he had made. So he made the molten calves and had the people come bow down to these molten calves and falsely calling them Jehovah. False Jesuses, right? So it was a faction, and the people who faction, it's always the people who get angry and frustrated and unforgiving and critical who run off, and they always run off without the true ministers of God, because the true ministers of God ain't going to put up with that or believe in that or be leaders of such as that. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, notice this, and after them, in other words, after all the Levites separated from Israel and came to Judah, of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, came to Jerusalem, or came to the bride, to sacrifice unto the Lord, the God of their fathers. Wow, so now, just about everybody that had a heart for God, who was a minister of God, or just from among the people who wanted to sacrifice to the true God, departed. So what do you got left in Israel? Total apostasy and total factioning away from Judah, the leading family, the family of the bride, the family of the man-child. They're a rebellion. Like the Korah rebellion, obviously all Israel at one point was listening to Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and departing from Moses, until God sent judgment, and he brought an end to that. He had those false leaders swallowed up by the earth alive, which means they were swallowed by their flesh, which is what the earth comes from. And that's exactly what's happened, by the way. Exactly. And I can prove that. So they came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord their God. And so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah. Wow. So God is sanctifying Judah and bringing all the true anointed people of the kingdom to Judah under David, you see. And of course, the faction made war with all the son of David and Judah. And we can see that story when they made war down in 12 and 16 through about 13 and 20. Let's look at the story. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was burned in the city of David. And Abijah his son reigned in his stead. Rehoboam went through that death that we're talking about. But his man-child reigned in his stead. You know what Abijah means? Father, my father is Yahweh, or YHWH. My father, he is a son of God here. Abijah represents a son of God here in this text. So, Rehoboam went through death. And his man-child, of course, was that resurrection life that now ruled over Israel. That's, of course, where we're headed, saints. We've been seeing it over and over and over. And it was the man-child that conquered the faction. Well, let's see. Down in verse 4. Very neat, I think. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemarim, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, and said, Hear me, O Jeroboam, that is the factious representation of the factious leadership, and all Israel, ought ye not to know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. And there were gathered unto him worthless men, base fellows, that strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and not able to or could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David. And you're a great multitude. And there are with you the golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. He's kind of picking on them now. He's pointing out that they follow a false god. They don't have any ordained leadership. They're just in total rebellion against God. And he's saying, you're going to make war against us and you're in that shape? That's what he's pointing out. He's got, the real God is not on your side. That's what he's pointing out. Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites? And the sons of Aaron were in the place of the high priest, Jesus. Have they not driven out Jesus? Yes, they have, with their criticism and unforgiveness and railing and faction and go on and on, witchcraft. And the Levites, and made you priests after the manner of the peoples of other lands. So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. They are not Elohim, right? The true Elohim dwelt in Jerusalem, in the temple. But as for us, the Lord our God, and we have not forsaken him, we have priests ministering unto the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites in their work. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt offerings and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table. In other words, it's not the one you made with your hands, it's the one that the Lord wanted. And the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. The faction had forsaken him. So true. And behold, God is with us at our head, and his priests with the trumpets of alarm to sound an alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord, the God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. And it's very easy to see that that's exactly what's happening, because they don't even deny, they just ignore the word of God. Just ignore it. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment. In other words, a backstabber. An ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind them. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. As the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah, the son of God, right? Praise God. My father is Yahweh, or Jehovah. Of course, all that's got the vowels added in there, so neither one, YHWH is the original word there. And smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah, the ruling family, right, that God chose to put the staff. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time. The children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord. the God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with the towns thereof, and Ishana with the towns thereof, and Ephron with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah. And the Lord smote him, and he died. But Abijah, waxed mighty, and took unto himself 14 wives, and begat 22 sons and 16 daughters, etc., etc. A neat story, isn't it? And boy, it just totally parallels what's going on. Well, I got that by asking the Lord and just flipping the Bible open by faith and sticking my finger down. And he spoke it all to me. It was pretty neat. There's so many awesome things hidden in God's Word. I just love it. You never get it all. Nobody in a whole lifetime can get it all. There's so much hidden in there. Wonderful things hidden in there. And God's got so many different ways of hiding them, these things, you know. Hallelujah. And I'll show you something else. Another verse that we got in our morning prayer meeting, the same way, when we're asking God to speak to us. You know, we weren't deciding what he was supposed to speak about. We just asked him to speak to us. And he gave us Zephaniah 4. And I'll read 4 through 8. And I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. Is God doing that? Well, we just showed you he did that. You know, he took away the people who were in the rebellion, separated them from God's people. God's people became holy because they were obedient to the word. They submitted to the Levites. They sacrificed the true altar of God, sacrificed to the true God, and so on and so forth. But in Jerusalem, obviously God wants to sanctify Jerusalem as his bride. And all those who have been idolaters in the midst of Jerusalem have been tested by the beast and called and taken out and swallowed up, right? As Jeremiah 51 speaks about how the dragon swallowed them up. Why was he able to do that? Because they became a part of his body by their actions, by their sinfulness. The beast is represents the old man, the flesh. You know, why did they run down to Egypt, you know, for strength against the Babylonish kingdom, you know? God told them never to go back that way because it represented going back to submitting to the old man. The old man ruled over them in Egypt, the old man of the land. And that was never supposed to happen again. After their baptism in the Red Sea and the old man died, they were never to go back to where they were. In other words, uncircumcised in heart, unbaptized. You know, baptism is for death. It's a baptism unto death, death to self, right? It's a circumcision. It's a cutting off of the sowing of the flesh, right? You sow flesh, you reap flesh. You sow flesh, you die. That's what the Bible says. You die. There are many dead. They don't live to God anymore. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. We've got dreams of a lot of these people that they died. You know, so even some of the most recent ones, dead, dreams about their death. What is God meaning by that? They're dead to him. They can't hear him. They've gone to following other gods, gods of their own choosing, their own making, so on and so forth, you know. Dead. Got a dream yesterday from Pamela concerning the same thing. Factious leaders dying with their children. And, you know, I think their children most likely represents their spiritual children, people that follow them, But I've also noticed that their natural children die too. I mean, wow, I've seen some of them so turn and fall into corruption. And we've got dreams about some of the children of these people, these latest people, turning to corruption. And, of course, we start praying because we don't want to see none of it. It's really grievous to us to see people fall away from God and destroy their families because they bring evil spirits in the midst of their families. And we pray a lot. Everybody that's here will tell you that. We pray for our brethren. We love our brethren. We know that it was a matter of sin and that God called it, that He separated it, but also that He can bring repentance. We keep getting, of course, the valley of dry bones. You know how Ezekiel, who was caught up to the throne of God, breathed on that valley of dry bones. And the Holy Spirit came into them and brought them back together. And they stood up a mighty army. So, I mean, they were what? Dead in their sins. Not necessarily physically dead, but some people do physically die in their sins. Of course, you know, God in Ezekiel also said, you know, that you can live a good life and do many good things that won't be remembered if you turn away from the Lord at the end. None of the good things that you've done will be remembered. On the other hand, He also said, I believe it's in 18, chapter 3 and 18, that, you know, people that live in sin but then turn away and follow God, none of the evil things that they've done will be remembered either. It's a great thing. You don't want to die in the state of living the evil life because you likely won't come back. Spiritual death is a lot worse than physical death. If you get physical death while you're in spiritual death, that's the ultimate reprobation. So, let's read this, Zephaniah 1. I'm going to read 4 again. And I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal. In other words, those people that are left that are worshiping a false Jesus, the false sun god. That's who Baal was, the sun god, the false sun god. Lots of people have another Jesus. They have another gospel. They have another spirit. Just as Paul said, they claim Christianity like the people who worship the golden calves, claimed Jehovah. But it was not so. It didn't matter that they claimed to be Christians. Their actions proved that they weren't. Their rebellion against their authorized leadership from God proved that they were not who they said they were. So, first of all, we know that history repeats. We've been studying that. The God's Word says it over and over and over. So, how would that repeat in our day? Well, now we're seeing it, how it's repeating in our day. How's the dragon in our day seeking to devour the man-child? Same as they were in the ancient times, right? There has never been anybody who followed God that wasn't reproached by the false people of God, the factious people of God. Never. Throughout all of the scriptures, all of the prophets were railed at, slandered, so on and so forth. And it was the people of God. In that way, you can find out who is true and who is not. Because the false never obey the Word of God. They never obey the rules. They never do that. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. In other words, He's going to sanctify that place. He's going to get rid of all the idolaters, all those that have gone their own way, made up their own gods so they could do anything they wanted to do. And the name of the Chamorim, and with the priests, and them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship, that swear to the Lord, and swear by Malcolm. Look, you know, it's a lie. It's a lie. It can't happen. And them that are turned back from following the Lord, those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired after Him. So basically, these people are being cleansed from Jerusalem, cleansed from the bride. You know, if you go on the front of our site, you'll see an article about the miracles that we had about me preaching about the bride. Miraculous things happened to prove what I was saying about the bride. The wicked don't believe it because it would exclude them from the bride. But the signs and the wonders in that article that we received from people who, you know, had miracles and had me preaching on discs that I never was on. There was music on, and I would be preaching on that disc, and they'd go and get another one, the same thing would happen. Or they'd pull the disc out of the disc player, and I'd still be preaching on the bride. Look in the disc player, there's no disc in there. You know, miracles like that. Why is it the Lord wanted me, everybody, to pay attention to what I'm saying about the bride? Because what I'm saying about the bride is happening. It's happening. People are being rejected from the bride because they have no sense of obedience to the Word of God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If anyone of you is out there and is a part of UBM, and you're giving in to your lower nature, you're giving in to the lusts of the flesh, you're not going to be in the bride. The bride is the place of protection, the place of blessing, the place of dominion, the place where the man-child rules. This is what's going to happen. Esther, you know, was in the king's house. She was chosen because she was obedient and beautiful to the Lord. And here we go. Well, the Lord's cleaning out people. How's he doing that? He's using the faction to do it. He used the faction to separate these people from the son of David. He used it. What I'm saying about the bride is true. You got to flee to Jerusalem. All the people in all Israel who wanted to serve the Lord fled to Jerusalem when the faction happened. Did you notice? Okay. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath consecrated his guests. He's going to sacrifice flesh. He's going to cut off flesh. If a person doesn't spiritually circumcise themselves of sowing flesh, if you sow flesh, you must die. That's what we're told. If they don't do it, he will cut them off. And it came to pass in that day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's sons. That is, people that the king raised up but rebelled, right? All such as are clothed with foreign apparel. So all these people, whether they were princes, king's sons, or just people in rebellion against God, everybody that's clothed in foreign apparel will be separated from the bride, from Jerusalem. Foreign apparel, of course, is not being dressed up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So you're either putting on the lusts of the flesh, or you're putting on the actions and works of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the bride in Revelation 19. She was dressed up with the brilliant righteous acts of the saints. And everybody else is being separated, just as in Esther chapter 2. All the virgins were separated from the bride. And because she became separated, she was chosen by the king to be the bride, the queen, etc. So anybody with foreign apparel, that represents foreign actions. Rebellion against the commanded works and acts of God. And in that day, I will punish all those that leap over the threshold, bunch of idolaters, that fill their master's house with violence and deceit. That's exactly what's happening. Violence and deceit. And so, that was another text that we received in Jeremiah 4. is another one that we received. I'll read it to you. Verse 3. For thus saith the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read, go back to verse 1 because there's some significant differences there between Israel and Jerusalem. He says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, says the Lord, if thou wilt return unto me. As you remember, Israel separated in a faction, rebelled against the Lord, turned to apostasy. If thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not be removed. And of course, they were taken into captivity. What is it to be taken into captivity by the beast kingdom? Because every time they rebelled against the Lord, they were taken into beast captivity. Now, Israel is a worldwide entity. Those who are circumcised in flesh, not in spirit, not in flesh, right? In heart, not in flesh, right? So Israel is a worldwide entity, and also God is raising up a worldwide beast to take them down. Take them down. How is it taking them down? In two ways. Number one, the beast is devouring the people of Israel. In other words, they're being swallowed up. They're becoming a part of the beast itself. And they live in the same kind of sins and think the same way as the beast and act like the beast. Number two, physically this is going to happen. God is raising up the whole world to persecute the people of God. Why is that? To bring them in repentance to the foot of God. To bring them back to walking in faith in the true God. Nothing else is going to work. None of their idols, none of their false Jesuses that they've been so fond of are going to save them. And there's nothing else that's really going to work. So if you'll repent and return, you won't be removed. Then, and thou shalt swear, as the Lord liveth, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For, thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah. Okay, so he talked about Israel, now he's talking about Judah. And to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. And I say this to all of you out there that have been somewhat faithful to the Lord, and want to be in the bride, and want to be in the family of the bride, and of the man-child, be sure you are receiving the seed of the kingdom. Break up your fallow ground. You can't sow good seed in hard ground. It stays up top, and it don't really germinate. Okay? Break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Sow not among thorns. Right? The good ground brought forth the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, but there was also the thorns, right? It represents the curse. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Cut away the flesh. You cannot sow flesh and reap spirit. You sow flesh, you die. You walk contrary to God's word, you die. I've had so many people tell me who have gone to meetings with the factious, if they don't study the Word, they don't talk the Word. And that's very obviously why. Because those demons do not want the Word to bring any correction whatsoever. And they're going to rail at anybody that's trying to do it. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. He's talking to Judah now. Take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire. You know, you remember in Joel chapter 2 how that they were repenting and confessing their sins and fasting and drawing near to the Lord, you know, to get straight with God, get everything straight with God, because the northern army was coming down against them. The beast army was coming against them. And, of course, they needed God to stand up, and He did, and He will, for those people who are true Judah and true Jerusalem. In other words, He's going to sanctify Jerusalem from those that worship idols they're false Jesuses, etc., so that he doesn't have to bring this army, right? Lest my wrath go forth like fire. See, he's threatening them. He's saying that they're coming, you know. You better get things right. And you out there who want to be a part of God's Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem, and God's ruling family, make sure that you have repented of everything, that you have received the seed of God into your heart. Don't rebel against the seed of the Word of God. Break up your fallow ground. And he said, none will quench it because of the evil of your doings, right? Those that are still walking in evil, do something now, quickly. You'll be separated, as some already have, right? Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. They did that, of course, in Joel chapter 2 when the northern army was coming. Cry aloud and say, assemble yourselves. Let us go into the fortified cities. Set up a standard towards Zion. Well, why? Zion had the broad walls of safety, right? So does the bride today, saints. If you're not in the bride, submit to the bride and submit to the man-child. Many from the surrounding country, when the beast invaded, ran into Jerusalem. And that's good. There are people now that are entering into the bride because they know judgment is coming. They know they want to be sanctified. They want to be holy because righteousness delivers from death. They know this. They're getting prepared. Praise God. Let it be you. Set up a standard towards Zion, that is the bride. Flee for safety. The bride is safety. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north. There's the northern army. And a great destruction. A lion is gone up from his thicket. And a destroyer of nations. We receive this text the same way. From the Lord. A destroyer of nations. The lion, of course, was the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire did conquer Israel first, and then Judah, the parts of Judah that weren't in the city, of course, and they were not holy, close to God, whatever you want to call it. That was who the lion was. A destroyer of nations, he's on the way. He's gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, that thy cities be laid waste without inhabitant. For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back. Praise God. So it's another warning. What did he say? Break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. Hosea 10 and verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap according to kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Oh, glory be to God. God is a good God. He loves us. He's warning us. He's saying this is coming. He's been saying it, and God's people have been quite a bit ignoring him. Well, Jeremiah 24 and 3 was another verse that we received. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? I said, figs. The good figs, the very good, and the bad, the very bad, that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for good. Hallelujah. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, and I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as for the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely Thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the apostate, factious leader, king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, that apostate Jerusalem, the fallen away Jerusalem, that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will give them up to be tossed to and fro throughout the kingdoms of the earth for evil, to be a reproach, and a proverb, and a taunt, and a curse, in all the places whither I have driven them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence against them, until they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. And amen. Well, God bless you, saints. God be with you and keep you. Keep us in your prayers. We thank you so much. And sanctify yourselves. Draw close to the Lord and love Him. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen.